this episode, I talked to Travis Fountain, a talented artist in New York who just kind of found himself tattooing about 3 years ago. Travis had a lot of great things to say about the struggles that come with being an artist and how to keep your confidence when battling the self-doubt that we all face, and the new challenges as he went from a medium like paper to skin. I love the way he approaches his design process and trying to capture the story of each client in every tattoo. He's got a really cool style that's a sort of illustrative surrealism black and gray. Definitely go check out his work. His Instagram is at fountain.nyc. My name is Jake Berry, and this is The Fine Line. Your Instagram, there's not a lot of information on there about you.
That's true. You know, I've wondered if that's, I don't know. I've never really felt the desire to make the page about me, you know? So it's tough, but I know that it's definitely a good thing to do, kind of career-wise. Like, people want to see more of you. They want to know more about you.
Yeah, yeah. Do you just, is that like, so that's like a thought out choice you made, like, I don't really want to do that? Or is it you just don't feel comfortable? Maybe
it's more like I don't like, it's not even that I'm avoiding doing it, like, out of some principle. I just never really feel the desire to do so.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I just don't, it would be work to do so. Yeah. And I'm kind of lazy about it. Like, I know I should.
Yeah.
And I will start sharing more, you know, and including more of my personal life.
But I watched that video that you made. It's pinned up at the top, and that's pretty cool. That's a little introduction into who you are, I think. That's cool.
Yeah. I was excited about that for that exact reason. I was like, oh, like, you know, some of my friends told me, they're like, man, you don't even have a single picture of you. Like, people are really just shooting in the dark. Like, just from a like a comfort perspective for clients showing up, they like to have some sort of idea.
Yeah, I get that.
Like, I had one client come before I had anything up there at all for people to see that are really about me. And he was like, man, for some reason, I thought you were going to be like a 45-year-old man. like, oh, really?
That's funny. No, it's cool. It's all about the tattoos. I think that's not a bad thing. But tell me, like, just to give everyone kind of a little bit of an insight into your background and how you started, and, you know, what got you into, what got you into tattooing, how long have you been doing it, all that good stuff.
I've always thought it was and I've always appreciated tattoo artists and thought of it as this super cool thing, because I've always drawn a lot. You know, I've been drawing and painting since I was a little kid. But, you know, I always thought of tattooing as, like, it's amazing that those guys can do that. You know, I can't do that. Because at the time, you know, when you draw in pencil, all of my little techniques and things I've learned over time, I, you know, rely on the eraser so much, at least at that point in time before I started. And I just, I don't know, it never really crossed my mind as, like, a possible career path. So I started off, I was actually a mechanical engineer for, like, 2.5 years before I met Snuffy. And Snuffy kind of yanked me out of that.
Really?
That world. And,
oh, cool.
Yeah. It was pretty abrupt. When I met him, he was working just kind of solo out of this huge space. I mean, he had, like, an entire building all to himself.
Crazy.
And then he was tattooing a friend of mine. And my friend just texted me, like, hey, you should stop by. I'm getting this super cool tattoo. And it's, like, in Williamsburg near your apartment. So I was just stopping by on the way home from work. And I was like, what is this? Like, who is this guy? What is this place? You know, it was so cool. And I just happened to have this printout. I would use the big printers at work to print out references for things I wanted to draw, because I always like to have the same size reference so I could glance back and forth.
Nice.
So I had that in my hand, and he was like, what is that for? I'm like, oh, it's just, you know, I like to draw. You know, I want someone to draw it. He's like, let me see your drawings. I showed him, and he's like, these are really good. Like, you know, you should tattoo.
Wow.
I remember, like, laughing, like, hilarious, dude. That's,
yeah. Wow, that's crazy. And so did he teach you?
Yeah, so that, I met him that night, and then I kind of left, and it just stuck in my head, like, you know, this super cool tattoo artist guy told me I should tattoo, and that's when I started to become more of a tangible idea, because I really didn't like my job that I was in. I had all sorts of plans to leave it. I was working with another friend of mine who works in the local 600, which is like the camera union in New York, to shoot TV and movies and things like that. And he was helping me get into the union because I wanted to get into the art department in film. Because I just wanted to do something more creative. So that was kind of in the process when I met Snuff. But then when the pandemic started, I was like working from home, you know, and I just bought a $50 machine on Amazon, did a couple practice skin tattoos, and then sent them to him on Instagram and was like, hey, just wanted to show you, you know, taking your advice a bit. And then he called me up like the next day and he's like, congratulations, I will take you as an apprentice type of thing.
Oh my God. That's cool. Wow. Yeah. And then you just decided, all right, I'm going to go for this then.
Yeah. And there was a bit of urgency on it because he had plans to go to LA for like the whole summer at this point. So he had like 2 weeks left in New York. So he's like, if you can come in tomorrow, like I'm going to work with you and get you started for 2 weeks, and then I'm gonna leave and go to LA for the whole summer and just leave you with the keys to my space.
What the hell?
And then you'll just keep tattooing people and sending me pictures. And that was kind of how it all started.
Wow. So you were kind of left on your own straight away. Were you tattooing people then all summer?
All summer.
Really?
Yeah. But within that first 2 weeks, you know, Snuff's never been one to do anything the way other people do it.
Yeah.
You know, he just does everything his own way. And he was like, look, we're not going to do the whole, you know, apprenticeship approach where you watch for like 6 months. And he's like, I think I tattooed myself the second day.
Yeah.
So I came in, I quit my job like right away, showed up, and then he had me set up all the equipment. And he's like, okay, pick something. Now you're going to tattoo your leg.
Wow.
Okay. And then I tattooed myself, I think like 11 times within that 2 weeks.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah, which was insane. Like, and I tell him, like, nowadays, I'm like, I can't believe that you had me do that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not knowing me or, you know, it's a crazy move. But he was like, he knew that he was going to leave.
Yeah.
And he wanted to get me through, like, the big fundamentals. And,
yeah.
You know, he wouldn't let me tattoo a friend until I was doing a tattoo on myself that was, like, decent enough, good enough for someone else.
That must have been terrifying for you, quitting your job and just going for it. But I guess you knew that you wanted to, but still at the same time, you must have had a few moments.
Mm. Yeah, I almost feel like I take credit where it's not due when people say that it was kind of courageous to, you know, quit and pursue this dream, right? Because I was so done with that job. I just wanted an out, you know, and then I've got someone like Snuffy and he's like, I'm going to take you and show you the ropes and pull you right in. It was, to me, it just made a ton of sense.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, this is, you know, a no-brainer.
Right. Yeah.
And luckily my parents, my mom is an artist. She's a muralist.
Cool.
And she's all about following creative pursuits. And so when I told her I had this opportunity, she was just like immediately like, quit, go do
really?
It.
Really? Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need that support. Like someone else just saying like, yeah, this is a good idea. You need to do this, you know? But
totally. Yeah, it's hard to self-assure when you're making a big decision.
For sure. You know?
Just another voice of someone whose opinion you value like that. It's huge.
Yeah.
So that's
been like 2.5 years. Is that right?
Yeah, almost 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really impressive, man.
Yeah.
Jeez. I mean, you wouldn't be able to tell in your work, you know?
Thank you. I think it was just I spent, you know, an insane amount of time really learning how to draw, you know? Like I would do my side hustle through college, through even when I was working as an engineer, I was still doing it because I liked it, but I was doing like photorealistic kind of pencil drawings. You know, people would send like wedding photos.
Wow.
And then I would just spend like a week just, you know, recreating it to as close of a match as I could from the source.
Wow. And
I think that's just fantastic practice for tattooing, really.
Absolutely.
You know, like looking at each kind of little shape that makes up this bigger image. And, you know, so it felt like a very convenient crossover.
And how was that? You know, how was that for you, like not having that eraser all of a sudden?
Yeah. So it's funny, that was less of a like roadblock than I thought it would be. You know, I kind of just, what was really a lot harder than I thought was just getting used to, like, my hands had no familiarity with this machine, you know, and like just trying to do, it took so long to get comfortable with just holding it and how to do everything in rhythm. You know, I was so used to when drawing with pencil, you can rest the pencil right against the paper still and then make little edges. You can't do that with the machine because it's like, it's a time-based thing now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So everything has to be some sort of fluidity in the motion.
Smooth. Yeah.
So that took, that was like, I remember when I was first getting started, I was convinced that Snuff was going to see that I was trash and be like, all right, you know what? Maybe this isn't working out. And I had just quit my job.
Yeah.
So, because I didn't know him at all. And knowing him now, he'd never do that. But that was kind of a big concern. I was like, wow, I'm really bad at this.
Well, like it's weird because like you know, when people ask me that are artists or draw or whatever, I think that's like a big thing for people, like when you're thinking about tattooing, like, but they're like, but it's permanent, you know, you can't go back. And I don't know, there's something weird about it. Like, I'm like, yeah, but it's not that easy to like get it in there, you know? So it's like, there actually is, I think you're right.
Yeah.
You know, there is, like, you do have to have that like fluidity, I guess, you know, but it's almost like I kind of explain it sometimes as if you're like sculpting or something. It's like you're kind of just chipping away at it, you know, and like adding layers and adding layers, and you know, it's not so like,
yeah, it's small increments, right? Like you're working on one little increment at a time. So there's no capacity for some grand error.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
when you're
exactly. But yeah. No, I know what you mean. Like, I don't know. For some reason, it just doesn't transfer over the same, does it? Like, I nearly would make more mistakes if I had a pen in my hand and I was drawing on paper than I would if I had a tattoo machine, you know?
It does feel that way. And there's something about the process of doing it itself that it, as long as you're sufficiently, like, kind of zoned in on what you're working on, there's just no room for like worrying about it, its permanence, or you just draw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like you're constantly avoiding this this thought about,
yeah,
like, oh, I hope I don't mess this up. You're just working on something at a time. Like, you're occupied.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you find did you ever get into, like, say you start a tattoo and like some panic would set in? You know, if you were like doing something that, you know, you would normally be drawing and you wouldn't have that. One, there's not someone waiting on you. There's not someone watching your every move. They're not like going to have to wear it forever. So it's less of a stress. But having that, there's like these panic moments when you are like maybe halfway through a tattoo. You're like, I can't finish this. I have to leave.
Oh, yeah, man. Dude, when I was first starting, there would always be these moments of like, you know, it was always like in the beginning of the tattoo, before there was something completed to look at and be like, okay,
work
that looks
off
good.
Of, yeah.
And I'd be like, yeah, like, cause you know, you start encountering people's skin is always different. Sometimes like when you're new and you got some client where their skin is reacting real weird.
Yeah.
There's always that panic. Cause you don't want to convey any of that anxiety.
Right. You're holding it in.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's all internal. And you're like, oh no.
Yeah. You're on your own.
But,
yeah.
Nowadays, I've just had enough examples of having that anxiety and then having the end product turn out the way I want.
Yeah.
That the validity of the anxiety has kind of
goes
lost,
away.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So now I'll be like working on something difficult skin, or I'm, you know, that thought comes into my head of like, oh God, you know, this is garbage so far.
Right.
But then I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's just not. Like, it won't be.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When I'm done with this, I'm gonna love it like I always do.
Yeah, because I think that's the biggest difference for me. Like, just having, or like, you know, during the lockdowns, I was doing fake skin just to kind of like stay busy and do a couple projects, and it was actually really fun. But that was the main thing I noticed when I started tattooing fake skin. I was like, man, there's no stress, like there's no pressure, anxiety, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, not
yeah.
that not that clients put you under that intentionally or anything, you know, but just you have it. I think just. Because naturally, you know,
yeah,
but that was the biggest thing that I noticed, like the biggest difference between just drawing and tattooing someone is that, like, those moments where I'm like, I can't describe it any other way than just like, panic moment, you know, and not sure how I'm going to get through it. But like you said, you always do, you know, and
you always do.
And you, I've found ways to like kind of, you know, focus. And I've heard other tattoo artists say to just like focus on just this little bit that you're working on and and just complete that, you know, like don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about the whole piece as a whole, you know, just like get this little bit good and then just get this little bit good. And that's really helped me a lot. But what's your process like? Would you work on like outline first or all your blacks first, or would you finish as you go, kind of starting down, working your way up?
Yeah, I kind of finish as I go. So I'll start at the bottom and just work my way up. But I kind of like fully saturate a tone like all the way out. It's just the way I always drew with pencil because I was trying to recreate these photographs. I wasn't necessarily, you know, starting out with my big shapes and layering shading and going back up to the top and slowly working it in a more kind of formal way. I was just straight like replication.
Copy. You know?
Just, I'd start here and I'd go back and forth until it was perfect match.
Yeah.
And I just move down throughout the piece. So I think that too, just kind of influenced my approach to tattoos. I just start at the bottom and work my way up, which sometimes too, like, you know, let's say you're working on some figure where there's going to be a dark background or something like that. Sometimes it's tough to put the tone of the foreground in to where it should be before the darker background makes it kind of feel different.
Yeah.
You know, you got to just trust, you know, just look at that particular area and be like, okay, it's still not dark enough, even though it'll then feel much lighter once the darker background goes in.
Yeah. I was thinking about that, you know, like those illusions where it's like these two grays are the same gray, but because it's on a darker background, it looks much lighter in this one than it does in this one. And I think that would throw me off a little bit.
Yeah. It's interesting. That illusion that you brought up, I've actually showed people that before in terms of, like to me that is as evidence of such freedom that you have in creating the illusion of whatever you'd like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just because that shadow's there in the right place, our brains not only ignore, but completely like readjust the tones of the image itself to make more
sense.
That's
interesting. Yeah. So you don't, so it doesn't need to be a match.
Yeah. I mean, the closer you can get to what is a more complete illusion of form or whatever it is that you're trying to portray with the, you know, with this use of tone, the more like real it will be. But it's amazing how if you have just a couple shadows from something on, you know, all in the same direction, our brains are so used to recognizing those patterns and saying, okay, the light's coming from over there and this is round they're separated from that.
Yeah.
You know, like you can just take advantage of all these little cues to make a more convincing illusion.
Yeah. Like our brain will just complete the story from there.
Totally. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. It's like a good example of that would be like, you know, those illustrations where the shadow is almost like, the darkest part of the shadow would be at the starting point of the shadow, and then as it continues, it lightens up. Do you know what I'm
absolutely
what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And where like in real life it wouldn't look like that, you know what I mean? But it's like you're just seeing the shape of the shadow.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. It almost looks nicer than it does in real life, basically. You know.
Yeah. That's the fun thing is, I try to do as much of that as I can is just doing it the way, you know, when you're drawing something or you're trying to make like, trust what feels right, what looks best, you know? Give yourself that freedom. There's always kind of a give or take with trying to make things as real as possible, but a lot of times reality just doesn't look as nice, especially not with a tattoo.
Sometimes what I've been doing lately is, you know, I might get close to being done or, you know, three quarters of the way or something, and I'll start looking at my tattoo more than I'm looking at my reference because as I start to see the tattoo, I'm like, I can kind of decide what's missing from here, you know?
Totally.
Like, I guess it goes to what we're saying. I don't necessarily need to follow that exactly because sometimes it is like it actually looks nice without any more shading right here or whatever, you know? Just to like leave it or make that decision because of the way it looks on skin rather than, you know, trying to go line for line on totally. With the reference. You know,
it's funny now that you say that. It kind of feels like there's almost this oscillation between completely ignoring the image that you're working to create, right? Like when you first start, you're looking at individual shapes. You know, you're looking at a shadow here in a certain shape, and you just put that shape in very blindly. You're not you're not like seeing the whole face that you're creating. You're just seeing a small piece of it. But then eventually, once the illusion of that whole face is there, now you can look at it as an image, and then you can work on that image. You know,
make decisions from there. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But I want to talk about what your design process looks like.
Yeah, design process. So I definitely encourage in my booking link and really in just my whole profile, I pretty much try to share the custom work pretty exclusively to encourage more people to write in with stories about themselves or songs they want represented or more concepts that they want me to make art about than requests for particular imagery. So a lot of what I do is that. And I like to, and most of this I learned, you know, Snuffy was doing this when I started working with him. He was taking stories from people, and he really encouraged the idea of, you know, you're an artist, like, make art. Don't try to make a tattoo, because when you when you're starting off with anything new, you're familiar with what tattoos look like and what, you know, the coolest tattooers on Instagram are doing, and that stuff is so infectious because you automatically, you want to be good at something, you look at who's doing it the best and you're inclined to do it like they are. So I think Snuff was really helpful in, you know, breaking down that instinct of mine. You know, I'd put something together and he'd be like, why'd you make it like this? I'm like, oh, because it's cool. Why do you think it's cool? Because it looks like this guy, you know?
Yeah.
And be like, yeah, I guess you're right. So he kind of encouraged to just drop back and make whatever you want to make, you know? So I like to do that still with as much as I can, just like
Do you feel like that limited your clientele in the beginning, or even still? Do you feel like that kind of limited who would want to get tattooed?
No doubt, yeah. It's not the most efficient route to like a steady flow of clients. It's niche, you know?
But
his point was always, you're not tattooing to just do more tattooing. You're like an artist finding out what kind of artist they are. You know, just if you're going to tattoo your art on someone, great. But he put a lot of emphasis on just finding your way as organically as possible, I guess. And this really allows for that. You know, when someone requests something specific, you put that together, but you don't know where it would have gone if you didn't start with those kind of bounds. So there's a lot to gain from it. There's also a lot, like, it took a very long time to just get a steady flow of clients, you know?
Right. Yeah. But I suppose there was, like, that level of integrity that stuck with you, that you wanted to continue down that road of being an artist and have that.
Yeah, it's. I don't even look at it as like an integrity thing. Like, there's any lack of integrity in any other way of doing it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not that it's any
more righteous in the path of
artistry. Yeah, it's more like if you leave it wide open, you don't know where it's going to go. And I love that approach. and I do that with just every appointment. I try to read through whatever was written to me and just kind of really, really make this conscious effort to pretend I'm typing it into my computer. Like, I'm messaging me, you know? Like, what is this person feeling that they're saying? Because everyone uses different words, you know? Like, some people are more storytellers than others, and regardless of whatever they write and how they write things, if you kind of just try to put yourself from their perspective as immediately as possible, you can feel what it is they're trying to express, even if their words aren't so poetic, you know? And then from that, I just think about, all right, what does it feel like to be them? That's kind of the root of my process. What does it feel like? And that's where the comparisons come in. Feels like this. That's kind of like this, you know? But if you start with the feeling, it's like, infinitely relatable, because we've all felt the same way as
people
in any other position, regardless of the context.
Right. You know? It's why someone writes a song. It's why poetry's made. Yeah, everything.
Because the feelings are all, like, universal. The specific life context and the actual, like, titles on all the things that go into some experience for somebody. Mm. That's what I think people get hung up on, even in general, of just feeling so separate from each other.
You know what I mean? That's...
like, we're all aware of...
That's pretty powerful, yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's you can relate to it more than you think you can, even though you aren't going through those specific scenarios, or you might not relate to the individual situation, but you can relate to the feeling of what's happening and
that experience, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like we all have very similar experiences with very different words to describe them.
Right. Know? Yeah. So, okay, that leaves me with a couple questions. One, would your process be like you would draw or come up with a design and send it to this person and allow them to decide whether or not they want to get tattooed? Or is it you don't know really what it's going to be, but why don't you book in and come see if you like it and what happens there?
It's the latter. Yeah, I don't send anything before the day of the appointment. I just
is there room for them to make changes? And
absolutely. And I tell them, I tell every client, you know, you're going to come in the day of the session. I only tattoo once a day, even if it's a, you know, quick tattoo. And I just let them know, like, there's plenty, all the time we need. You know, we'll make any changes together. I think the problem comes in with if you send things in advance, people will see it, have an initial reaction, and then their mind starts going. You know what I mean? And two, three days later, there's like four or five emails with, can we add this, and it strays from what would have been the better version of it, you know? Like, too much time looking at it and thinking is just not, I don't know, I don't think it's helpful.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree, which is so funny because it's on you forever. So you'd think that, like, if you were going to make a change a few days later, that would make sense. But I do understand what you're going with that. And I'm the same way. So, like, my approach is, because you said something earlier that, like, people use different words and people sometimes don't communicate the best, especially over email or what text or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I always find I can get the best idea of where someone's coming from in person.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
Even if it's like they're just looking for something that looks cool. Okay. I feel like I can read that straight away. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or as opposed to someone who's like, no, this means a lot to me. I'm a little bit nervous about it. I want it to make, you know, I want it to be right. And so that's why, like, in person, I feel like I get that, like, even if it's a 5-minute conversation, and then I can go back and kind of make those, you know, make adjustments to my design or make suggestions or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, like, do you feel like you might start on a design and then meet the person and be like, this isn't for them?
Hmm. You know, I haven't had that really happen. It's because I think I do... like, I think people get a feel for the fact that what they see on my page is all, like, kind of similar in a way, but very different one to the next. So if someone's writing in, I think they're typically just the types of people that just want something, like, original and kind of surreal. Yeah. And so when they see, when I put something together that is this visual representation of something that connects to their story, I think people very quickly are just... yeah, they feel that connection.
Excited
to it.
About it. Yeah. Yeah.
And then and like you said, working with clients the day of the session together to go over, you know, what do you like the most about this and what's anything about it that bothers you? Like, let's make some changes together. I do a lot of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And what happens then if someone says, like, look, I really like where you're going with this, you know, and I like the idea, but I really just want it to look like this one, and they show you something on Instagram.
Mm.
How do you handle that?
I'm trying to think about the times where I've made the most drastic alterations to the designs. I've done some pretty much like reworking, maybe once or twice, but it's I don't know. I haven't had it happen all that much. I think it's because the way that I kind of, one of the things I like to do with the designs is have like a cohesive scene almost, you know, where everything has its place and it works together like perspective wise. You know what I mean? I kind of like assign like one perspective to the kind of composition itself and build everything from there. So I think it's already different than what would be more like a kind of collage or decorative thing where there's a lot more fluidity in moving the elements around amongst each other. It almost gets locked in place by the kind of singular perspective where things have to coincide.
So, I get that. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
So the changes that I make with clients typically are within the realm of this little scene I've already set up, you know? So it'll be like, oh, instead of these, you know, birds over here, can we put something like this? And it's like, oh yeah, totally. Let's do that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
It's like people, it all kind of falls inside the bounds of the way it's already been set up instead of completely set up.
Okay. And like, let's say you're doing a design. Okay. Cause I've been here a lot where I'm doing a design and I'm like, oh man, I know how it's going to look when I tattoo this. It's going to look a lot nicer than this. Okay. So, I spend the time right now to like make it look the way I want it to show the client so that they know where I'm going with it? Or do I just say like, look, it's going to be something like this. Maybe show them a few examples of my work and be like, you know, this is a, I think you know where I'm going with it. And you know, you're here because you trust me and all that kind of stuff. And I know that's probably the lazy approach, you know, just like, just take the time, make the nice design, have it be finished, and then you can start tattooing. But like, for me, quite often I find myself being like, I really don't want to go in and clean up the hair cut out of this or whatever, you know?
It's just like,
I know I'm going to do a nice job in this, and I know what I'm doing and I know where I'm going with it. So should I just like get, you know what I mean? Get the ball rolling now.
I think everybody kind of naturally finds like a certain degree of like rendering in the design itself that's enough to communicate to the client, right? Because that's all it's for, and for yourself. Like if you know what kind of reference you need, and if it looks, if the client can look at the design and kind of get it, you know, the way it's going to be. But I do, I've got like a few things I say to every client before I show them the designs, you know, like this is a reference, you know, this is not fully rendered. So I spend a ton of time, man, on the designs. Like they're pretty fully fleshed out. So it's like there are things that sometimes just don't look all that exciting flat on an iPad. But I know that they're gonna be cool in the tattoo. So sometimes you gotta tell the client, trust me, like this is gonna look awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of trust. There's a lot of trust involved, and I think that, I mean, it's obviously great to have your portfolio online for people to see and go, okay, yeah, obviously I can trust this guy because I've seen, you know, the work that they're doing, and it's quality work, and we're living in a time where that's beneficial to us. But would you suggest to an artist that is trying to maybe find their style or like find something that, you know, or maybe find their way to tattooing more of what they want to do and less of what they have to do to pay the bills or whatever? Would you suggest to maybe like, it's worth it to do less tattoos and do the ones that you want to do? Or like, say, if you're getting started, like, I guess it depends on where they're at in their career. But like, you know, if you're getting started and like, you need to pay the bills, like what would you suggest to do there? You kind of went through that yourself. So how did you go about that?
Oh man, I think I didn't necessarily find the right balance, you know, in terms of like starting to like get everything moving. You know, I was really just focused on taking these very specific clientele that wanted something completely original. And so I think it was like a slow road for me. I guess it wasn't all that slow, but struggling, man, like financially for the first year, of course, because I was learning to tattoo as well. You know, I just started this Instagram page. It's got like a couple thousand followers and like not enough on there for people to have that trust for the freedom.
Yeah.
So I kind of like, you know, I was like, this is the way I'm going to do it. And it was, it wasn't exact. I don't think I would suggest my exact approach to it to someone getting started, because, you know, when it's your only job, you gotta keep the machine moving. So I think just,
yeah,
even if you've got a certain number, like maybe a good move is if you want to kind of explore a little bit with your tattoos and find, do something different that's outside the realm of normal things, the wanna-dos, I mean, are the move. So you do, you know, do your regular appointments. Yeah, and just work on some designs. And then you get that freedom of, like when you're working on the practice skin, that relaxed kind of creative. Because everyone's more creative than they give themselves credit for. Creativity is not really a thing you have. It's like a process. Like if you can just sufficiently relax and just mess around, just try things and pay attention to what you like, you just find out what you like, you know? You don't like premeditate your style. I think that's something that people get hung up on, is like, I can't find my style, because they think they have to like think it into existence. You know what I mean? Like you just mess around aimlessly, like with no direction. And then you notice, you pay attention to what you like that you're doing. Like, oh, I kind of like the way that looks. Oh, I'm gonna do a little more of that. You find it, you know?
Yeah. It's a discovery.
Yeah. And the impediment to that is when you feel like creativity is something you either have or you don't, there's this like internal dialogue of kind of fear around creative processes, because when you start working on something and you don't like the way it looks and you just like feel like it's bad, right? This voice in your head is like, oh, you suck. You shouldn't, you know, this isn't good. You're not creative. Mm-hmm. This is, so you're kind of, you're almost like observed by that part of you the whole time, commenting on everything. You know, if you can ignore that, you get this childlike kind of freedom to just mess around. There's nothing.
Yeah. That's interesting, because I think sometimes that voice has helped me and like it kind of pushes you know what I mean? But I guess there is that balance of not beating yourself up and not like not knocking yourself because you're not exactly where you want to be at that moment, but just like maybe accepting this is where I'm at, and you know, it's a good place.
Yeah. And I think the voice, like the way you said, sometimes it's helpful. There's like this small distinction in what the voice is saying that's a huge difference. Like if you're doubting the work that you're working on, if you're like I think this could be better, that's like completely helpful. You know what I mean? Like you can just keep iterating and like, no, I don't think this is the best version of itself. And that's like a positive, you know what I mean? You can doubt your work in a healthy way, but when it's, I'm no good. I'm not good enough for this. I'm not creative enough for this. That's just pure, like, that's just the worst thing. You know, there's nothing to gain from that.
I suppose you always have to leave room for, if you believe that you have more potential, right? So I think that's like the difference. If I believe that I'm potentially better than what I'm doing right now, I think that's the more positive way to look at it, because it gives you room to move forward rather than I'm not capable of being better, right? You know? Let's move a little bit to more like the technical side of things. So when you were learning to tattoo, I'm sure, you know, Snuffy gave you a handful of inks and machines to try or whatever, and this is what I use. But did you go through a cycle of trying a bunch of different stuff, or did you kind of just quickly find, I know a lot of people take the approach of like, just give me anything and I'll just try to find the best way to do it with what I got.
Snuff actually forced me to use all the different machines that he had. He'd be like, today you're using this machine, you know, because it was different. Because he didn't want me to ever be stuck in that position where I don't have the one machine I've always used. And it's like, what am I going to do? I've only ever used this, you know? So I definitely tried a handful of different machines and different needles and things like that in the beginning. And then I kind of got used to the Spectra Zion. It's the machine I use nowadays. And I just use that just about all the time. But But I know that if I had to use a different machine, you know, you'd figure out what's different real quick and just kind of adjust mm-hmm. from there. And I think that comfort comes from the fact that I did mess around with different ones. But I've also always, whenever I have the opportunity to talk to artists that I see their work, I'm like, how did they do that? Like, I want to know. Mm-hmm. And I think that the community is a lot more open to sharing information like that than a more traditional standpoint.
Yeah.
Like, traditional tattooing was super secretive. And like, you got mm-hmm. a way of going about things. Like, you don't share that because that's what you have that they don't, you know?
Right, but, right.
You know, I learned from so many really talented artists really early on. Like, Oscar Caramo, I know you had him on this show as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think my third week, right? Like, after the 2 weeks with Snuffy leaves. And then Oscar was shooting that course that he did, that tattoo mastery course. And Snuff, like, coordinated me going over to help him with that. So I just helped him set up. And so I got to watch him and really, you know, tell him, hey, these are all the things I don't know. Because he's making a course to teach people to tattoo. I was kind of a great example of, like, why is it, like, what angle are you holding the mag on? Like, is it perfectly square or is it, you know what I mean? All these things that might not even come to mind as someone that as experienced as he is. It's like hard to remember what you don't know, you know?
Right. So it was mutually beneficial then.
I mean, it was way more beneficial to me than it was to him, right? I was mostly just helping to move supplies around. But but no, I mean, I'm really grateful for things like that. And I'm definitely inquisitive, you know? If someone's doing amazing things, like, I want to know all about it. I want to know how.
Yeah, that's cool. Man, you got a great start. Not a lot of people, I mean, that's rare to come across
that.
For
real, yeah. It is. I feel unbelievably lucky, you know?
Yeah. So you're almost 3 years into it. So then where do you see this going now for you? Like, what's down the road? What's, let's say 10 years from now. Like, where do you see yourself?
Definitely a larger emphasis on just fine art. I've been doing a lot of drawings.
Really?
And I've got just this huge list of these ideas that I've had that to me are, I want to give them a bigger scale than just a tattoo, and that mean a lot to me, and a lot of them that coincide in terms of themes. And I've put together kind of these different series that I want to do, and I do a lot of these big pencil drawings, but I really want to paint more. So I actually signed up for a oil painting course at the New York School of Arts. It starts in May.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like 9 weeks.
So, like, you want to go into color?
Yeah, for some for paintings. Yeah.
Very.
But I don't
cool.
think I'll I don't think I'll tattoo in color. It's just such a different ballgame, bro. Like you said, you know, working with clients' skin and saturation, and it's just so different.
Yeah.
It's like a whole
very
different thing.
Yeah. And knowing how certain colors are going to heal and all that stuff. But that's interesting. So, you're saying you started doing like pencil drawings and you still do pencil drawings and you tattoo in black and gray, but you want to get into painting, but you want to branch out into the color.
Yeah, and it's not something I haven't done at all before. You know, I've made all sorts of different paintings in the past, and I've always worked with, I don't know, I even like Photoshop. Like, I love all the things you do in Photoshop. My uncle's a graphic designer, and I learned the fundamentals of that program from him when I was an engineer, just because I loved like making weird things, like with my friends, and you know what I mean? So I made all sorts of posters, and I think I definitely don't have any classical training in color theory or anything like that, but then again, I don't in anything, you know? I've never really taken art classes. There's so many resources. Like, YouTube's amazing.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. But I, you know, when I thought about these paintings I want to do, my first inclination was to go online and just look up like people teaching me how to do these classical oil painting styles, because that's the course I found is in like Renaissance oil painting. Not really sure what goes into that process, but I'm gonna learn. But
that's cool.
I'm excited.
So would you like, would your goal to be kind of maybe focusing on like one big piece for a period of time, and then you know, like not have not have ongoing projects, or is it just kind of like, because like it's just that, like what you're describing is very different to being a tattoo artist. Like as a tattoo artist, you show up and you're completing something every day, if maybe over a couple of days, but it's like
they're in
that you do a tattoo and then they leave, right? So it's like I've always loved the idea of working on a bigger project and like being able to come back to it over like a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But is that something you're thinking of, or is it kind of?
Yeah. And that's kind of what I'm doing at the moment. You know, I've been, you know, these drawings that I'm doing take like, maybe like, I don't know, if I were to just sit down and do only that like a week, but that's never the case. So it gets spread out over a few months of just when I have the time for it, I'll sit down. But I think that there's something beautiful too about the consistency, like the demand time wise with tattooing. You know, if you constantly have appointments coming up, it forces you to just sit down and just create, and you don't know what you're going to find, and something new happens, and that triggers an idea for a painting, and now your list grows for these ideas for bigger works.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the more time you spend just doing that creative process, which is really open, it's mutually beneficial. So I don't really look at the tattooing as like a big distraction from the other things. I think it's all tied together, you know, but you do need to find that balance of time where you're not taking appointments and you're not, you know.
Yeah. I mean, or like, yeah, I saw this artist who recently sold a painting at an auction for like $500,000.
Wow.
And yeah, and I think it was his highest, you know, I think that's the highest he's ever sold a painting for. And I was like, geez, you know, I would love to just spend a year on just one project and sell it for a crap ton of money. And
yeah, sell it for like,
and then like, you know, and then like go on a little trip and then come back and start a different project and work on that. Like, you know, that's what I mean. It's so different to tattooing where it's like, man, I'm focusing on like four projects this week, you know, and completing them all. And, you know, that takes a lot of mental, you know, energy and just throwing yourself into a new project every day, I feel like is like, it's a lot, you know, and like,
totally.
The more I'm in this industry or like the more I'm doing tattoos, I'm like, how am I doing? how do I show up and how am I able to like give myself to each project every day? And you are, obviously you show up and you're like, cool, I'm here and we're doing this. But, you know, I just, when you compare it to these artists that are doing other mediums that don't have to do that, don't have to, I know there's like other jobs that, you know, maybe if you're a graphic designer or you're working on animation or something like that, then maybe there's that intensity as well. But do you get what I'm saying about
Absolutely.
Just having that freedom to like, maybe we should just start painting?
Yeah. I think the answer is it can't be black and white. You know, you can't like take this long shot on, all right, I'm going to stop, essentially cut off my income stream for like 6
exactly.
months. So you got to do them in tandem, you know?
Yeah.
And then eventually if your fine art pieces are supporting, like, I think you'll build that, that separation of time as it occurs in terms of how it's supporting you. You know, if you work on some art on the side and then you sell a piece for something that can give you even more time to work on more art outside of tattooing, then you get more time to make another piece that can, you know, it'll kind of bridge that gap.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
yeah, I think it's,
I don't know how it works, you know?
Let me know if you figure it out.
Yeah.
No, I just think it's, I think it's cool. For me right now, like, I think where I want to go with things is like, I don't know yet. Right. So I don't really know. I know people have like long-term plans and I kind of have ideas, but what I do know is that like, I want to keep building what I have right now. mm-hmm. and continue to like work and focus on like our brand, you know, like
yeah.
So my wife and I do this together. So she doesn't tattoo, but she basically, me and her run the business together. And but like what we keep talking about is like, okay, keep focusing on your brand. And this is something that Snuffy kind of said, and I've heard a few other people say, is like, just shift laterally, you know, shift sideways.
Mm.
So whatever you're working on is like, you continue to work on it, not knowing what's next. And then as soon as you find that thing you're doing next, you don't have to start from the ground up. Like you're moving
yeah.
sideways, you know?
Totally.
In other words, a quote I saw today was like, actually, I'm going to read it instead of trying to memorize it. I have
cool.
it pulled up here. It's good because it kind of, it said, don't be afraid to start over again. This time you're not starting from scratch. You're starting from experience, which I thought was good, you know, because I guess I don't know why I'm saying this, because I don't want it to sound like I don't want a tattoo anymore.
No. Yeah. And that's the funny thing about it, right?
Like, you know,
but that's the nature of being an artist. You're always thinking about what's next. You know what I mean? And it doesn't mean you're not grateful for exactly what you're doing at the moment, but we're always inclined to dream, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
like think about what can I do next? What do I want to do? You know? And I think that's an important thing to note as well. Like, I think sometimes there's this weird like pressure on tattoo artists to do just that, to be like, well, right now I'm just tattooing, but you know, if I really want to be like an artist, I have to make these separate things and take this whole other route. But there's no, like, that's all just made up. You know what I mean? Like,
that's
if you love
true.
What you're doing and you're honing this, if you're constantly getting better at making tattoos and making them more and more brilliant, like, there's no reason to feel like that you should be doing anything else. You know, I think everyone should just go with, do what you want to do. But when you want to do something, don't ignore that, you know?
Yeah. I think this is what I think about it. It's like, we live in such a cool time where everything's available to everyone at all times, right?
Mm.
And as an artist, like, I know that I'm an artist and I love making art and I love tattooing, but I love art and I love creating things and I love creating new ideas and whatever.
Mm.
So what I know right now is that I can build off of what I'm doing with this tattoo business now, and whatever that means, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so like to be able to like put your art out there and say like, this is who I am as an artist, and allow people to like follow that and like be a part of that,
yeah,
gives you so much more opportunity than you've ever had before, you know, like if you didn't have that. So I guess that's what I'm getting at, is like, it's such a cool time to be an artist, because you can like, you can shift really easily, because you're still like, what you're doing is still you. It's just in a different form, right? It might be in a different medium. It might be a different whatever, but people are still able to follow along with what you're doing, which is cool, you know? So it'd be cool to see if you did start doing more paintings, drawings or whatever,
mm-hmm.
for us to be able to see that, you know, on that page and kind of see that transition.
Yeah. I definitely will be. And I think that's, like, once again, Snuff's a great example of that. You know, he has this page and this platform where it's kind of a portfolio, and he uses it for everything he does, because, you know, it really is just a platform to do other things, that lateral, that move, you know, it's really wide open.
That's cool. I think I'm excited to see what you do with that. I want to see your drawings and paintings that you've done already. Do you have a website that they're on or anything?
Dude, nowhere. I'm just
really that's terrible.
I'm just like harboring them, like it's not ready.
That's
a funny
thing.
It's like an old tendency of mine. You know, when I first started tattooing, I was always anxious about the clients seeing it before it was done, because before tattooing, I was always very secretive with my art, like wouldn't show anybody until I was ready to, you know.
Tattooing takes that all out of you.
Yeah, because they're just watching it from the beginning to the end, you know.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I first started tattooing, I would say to people, like, please don't look at it until I'm finished.
Yeah, like, it's not done. It's not done.
Yeah.
Trust me. It's not.
Yeah. No, but anyways, I just want to take the last few minutes to ask a question that I've asked a lot of people. I sometimes forget, or we run out of time or whatever, but is if you can name a few tattoo artists that you really want to get tattooed by.
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Well, you're in the list, man. Your work's unbelievable.
Oh, stop.
No, for real. After I saw the, I think the tattoo on Poesis is the only work of yours I've seen in person, but I was like, oh, it's perfect.
You know? Oh, man, that's so great to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. And Poesis, she's on my list as well.
Yeah, for sure.
I had the opportunity to tattoo her as well when I was in Germany. And yeah, she's an awesome artist, man. She's really true to herself.
What did you tattoo on her?
That's another thing I haven't posted it yet, but I certainly will. I always try to like kind of orchestrate the order in which I share tattoos so that they're always a bit different from ones that have come before. But hers was kind of about the creative process and the pain and pleasure of that.
Oh, you know? Wow.
So it's
that's cool.
It's like this kind of half portrait with this little like broken kind of spiraling staircase effect, like inward on this face, and wow. Then these flowers that wrap around the neck and come up and around, and they're flowers at the bottom, but then they're thorny, you know.
Wow.
Because it's kind of the, you know, the beauty and pain of that process is what we're
nice.
Shooting for.
So, wow, I'm excited to see that.
Yeah. Let me think. Who else? Dude, it's really hard. It's hard to choose names. Because it's very hard,
I know.
It's such a list. Like, I'm just
it's actually such an unfair question to ask people, but I just love putting people on the spot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, another good friend of mine, Amelia, some people like Amelia Inc. Have you seen her work and
mm-hmm.
from Denmark?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's unbelievable. And I've had the opportunity to see so much of her work in person, like while she's doing it.
Nice.
And it's, yeah, she's so just good at tattooing, you know what I mean? So efficient and quick, and the detail is she puts everything right where it needs to be right away. So she does these big, big pieces with an unbelievable amount of detail across the whole thing. You know what I mean? Sometimes I feel like just time wise, you know, if you have something with a ton of like intricacy, it's more of your time goes into every square inch, so you can't really cover as much ground.
Yes.
Somehow she like breaks the laws there, and she can put this ridiculous amount of intricacy into every square inch and cover a large area in a single session. It's really, really impressive.
Just so confident with like each tone.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a light gray, I'm going to make it light gray. This is a dark gray, I'm going to make it
puts
dark
it just
gray.
Right there.
I've seen people work
on.
Like that.
Yeah.
Where like I would be, I'm changing, I'm getting better at this, but like say in the beginning, I would be more of like a layer until I get it to the shade that I want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like, okay, you know what? Why am I wasting my time? I know it's going to be dark. Just make it dark.
Yeah.
You know, like don't like ease your way into it. Just make it dark.
Yeah.
You know, like why are you, you know, taking your time on that? So, but that's just a internal mental struggle I've had. But I've seen people work like that where they're like so confident with putting it in. Then it's just like it just comes together so like naturally and fast.
Yeah,
you know?
And
so that's
it's
cool.
It's like you said, it's one of those things that definitely comes with time and experience. You know, having that confidence to go right to the end product instead of inching right. Because we're all familiar with the fact that it's a one direction thing. You don't lighten. You know, so you need that confidence, and I think that confidence just comes with experience. But I definitely want to get. You know, if I'm going to get color work, it's going to be for my friend Kozo, because he's just
nice.
I love like he's got just an unbelievable eye for composition, and his designs have this just beautifully satisfying like balance to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the way that he puts everything together, and his understanding of color theory is bizarre, you know, that confidence that we're talking about with the different tones.
Yeah.
He's got that confidence with the complexity of blending different colors to a crazy degree.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of the best, and I'm sure your list goes on and on like mine does.
It does, yeah.
But that's a good place to wrap it up. So, Travis, thanks so much for doing this with me, and thanks for your time. And I hope to see you either in New York or Ireland one day.
All right, man. Sounds good.
Thanks, man. Talk to you later. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure to follow on social media and wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it's Spotify or Apple or Google. You can find me on Instagram at jankyjake_tattoos. And this page is at the_fine_line_ So many underscores. If there's a specific artist that you'd like me to have on the show, please feel free to send me a message and I'll see what I can do to get him on. Once again, my name is Jake Berry, and this is The Fine Line.